Good morning, everyone. My name is Angel Pereira. I'm a graduate student from UC Davis. And today I'm going to show my research on soil organic matter dynamics and microbial distribution under elevated CO2 and drought. So in this research, we look at the soil carbon stabilization from a microbiology perspective, and we also look at the role of microaggregates to protect soil organic matter and microorganisms under elevated CO2 and drought. First, I'd like to give a little bit of a background on the microaggregates. They are a very important fraction of the soil that one of the main functions is like to protect soil organic matter from decomposition because it protects especially from desiccation and microbial attacks to the decomposition of the fresh residues inside the microaggregates. Another background I would like to give, it's on the CO2, the carbon dioxide fertilization effect on soil carbon. So plants increase the photosynthesis as a response to elevated CO2, and that is reflected into an increase in plant biomass that is later transferred to the soil as litter deposition. So if this increase in carbon input into the soil were reflected into actual soil carbon accumulation, the CO2 fertilization effect could actually help mitigate climate change. However, previous studies in a soybean agro ecosystem have shown that even though CO2 increases plant biomass, this does not reflect into an accumulation of soil organic matter. This research was done after 6 years of CO2 fertilization in the soybean plants, and they observed no increase in soil carbon. So they suggested that CO2 might be inducing soil microbial respiration as a response for the increased carbon input into the soil. Along with the CO2 effect on soil carbon, we'll also be looking at the drought effect. So it's well known that in the absence of soil moisture, microbe activities are suppressed. And research has also shown that as a response for the suppression of microbial activities, the soil organic matter is stabilized. So that means that it does not increase or decrease under drought conditions, but it becomes stable. With that, the first objective of our study was to investigate changes in soil organic matter dynamics and soil microorganisms caused by elevated CO2 and drought. And our second objective was to determine the role of microaggregates to protect them as a protective microhabitat for soil microorganisms under stress conditions such as drought and elevated CO2. Our first hypothesis was that elevated CO2 would induce the microbial community, induce a microbial abundance as a response to the increased carbon input into the soil, as suggested by previous studies. And our second hypothesis was that drought would decrease the microbial abundance and may consequently induce to a stabilization of soil organic matter. And we also hypothesized that microaggregates will serve as an ideal microenvironment for microbials under drought. So our study was located at the Soy Phase facility in Illinois. At the Soy Phase site, corn and soybean plants are grown in the field, and the CO2 is fumigated in the field without any chambers. So the CO2 treatment was established in 2001, and the concentration was elevated to 550 parts per million, which is the concentration expected for the year of 2050. The drought treatment was established in 2008, which was actually the year in which we conducted this study. And the drought treatment is achieved by automated system. I can kind of see here. It's achieved by automated system that is composed by some sensors and a awning. And whenever the sensor senses moisture and rainfall, the awning will close down. And since this system only works during the night, it's estimated that it can block about 20% of the rainfall. in the field, we collected soil samples from the four different treatments. That was the ambient CO2 and drought, elevated CO2, drought, and elevated CO2 plus drought. We collected soil samples from two different locations from the soil. First, from the rhizosphere, that's the soil that is in contact with the roots and it's under the influence of the exudates and participates in the root turnover. And we also collected soil from the bulk soil that in the field was the soil in the interrow of plants. Also in the lab, we fractionated this soil into the CPOM, that's the coarse particulate organic matter, which was already talked here this morning, microaggregates fraction, and silt and clay for both rhizosphere and bulk soil. To assess the microorganism communities, we used real-time quantitative PCR. So we extracted the DNA from the soil and quantified the total bacteria gene from those samples, which is the 16S gene. And we also quantified the abundance of the NoZ gene. We used it, which is a denitrifier. It's one of the genes responsible for the denitrifier process. We use this gene because the denitrification process is a very moisture-sensitive process, and any shifts in the soil moisture, this population would be affected. And we quantified these genes in the whole soil and in the microaggregates. So the drought treatment was able to reduce about 20 to 30% of the soil moisture in the top 20 centimeters and about 10 to 20% at the 30 to 50 centimeters depth. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but we collected the soil samples from the top 20 centimeters. So we had a reduction of 20 to 30% of soil moisture compared to control. We quantified soil carbon in all the fractions and in the whole soil, and we observed no difference in soil carbon content in any of these fractions, which supports the results found by previous research that didn't observe any increases in soil carbon after 6 years and 3 and 6 years of CO2 fertilization in the field. So this graph shows the distribution of the soil fractions in each treatment. So this separated into the rhizosphere and bulk soil. So the gray, the light gray shows the distribution of the silt and clay in the soil, and the dark gray shows the distribution of the microaggregates in the soil, and the white bar shows the distribution of the POM content in the soil. So we observed that in the bulk soil, the mass of microaggregates is a lot higher than at the rhizosphere, and even though there is a higher amount of root turnover and exudates in the rhizosphere. And we also observed that CO2 increased about, in average, 11% of the proportion of microaggregates in the soil. As we can see here, the mass of microaggregates is higher in the CO2 than in the ambient, and the same in the rhizosphere. And this effect might be as a response to the increased carbon input by the plants under elevated CO2. We also observed that in the drought treatment, there is an increase in microaggregates as well. And that might be due to the increase in aggregation of microaggregates in the absence of water. And when we look at the soil microorganisms in the whole soil, we first observed that in both total bacteria and denitrifier bacteria, there was no increase of these populations under elevated CO2, which does not support our hypothesis number one, that was expecting a higher abundance of microorganisms under elevated CO2, as suggested as a mechanism for the lack of response of CO2 on the soil carbon content. And we also observed that drought decreased the bacterial abundance in both both total bacteria and denitrifier bacteria, and that supports our hypothesis that was expecting drought to decrease microorganisms' abundance. And we also observed that the CO2, the elevated CO2 plus drought treatment followed the trend of the drought treatment for the denitrifier gene. When we look at those communities inside microaggregates, we observed that the population of bacteria inside microaggregates in the drought treatment is a lot higher than in the ambient and CO2 plots. And that supports our hypothesis that we're expecting that the soil microaggregates would serve as an ideal environment for microbial growth under drought. And again, the elevated CO2 plus drought treatment followed the trend for the drought treatment. So the key finds of this study, first, neither elevated CO2 and drought has changed concentrations in soil carbon, which corroborates with previous studies. In general, the effects of elevated CO2 plus drought follow the effects of the drought treatment, especially when we look at the microorganisms. Elevated CO2 increased about 11% of the proportion of microaggregates in the soil, and that is might be due to the increased carbon input. And along with this increase in microaggregation in elevated CO2, we also observed an increase in microaggregation under drought, and we believe that that's due to the increase in contact points between microaggregates in the absence of water. But that didn't change the soil concentration, the soil carbon concentration inside these microaggregates. And one of the most important points of these conclusions is that drought increased the abundance of microorganisms inside the microaggregation fractions, and which highlights the importance of microaggregates in the maintenance of microbial biomass, even under environmental stress such as drought. With that, I'd like to thank the members of Dr. Johann Sick's lab for help with field and lab work and funding agencies for financial support in this project. And I'll be happy to take any questions. Thank you.